B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 5 o'clock hour.
Yes, an hour we always look forward to on the Mike Missinelli Show. 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guida Door and Window. Guida Door and Window would like to acknowledge that the health and safety of our community remains at the forefront of our minds. Together, we will all get through this difficult time and come out of it stronger than ever. Sal Pal at 5:15. We'll talk about the NFL draft and his role in it. Sal will have a role. He will be somewhere with this new age way of bringing you the draft. So we'll find out from Sal. And also, regarding the draft, the thing that appeared today is Mel Kiper's much anticipated, what is this, 4.0?
Yeah, it's the latest
draft
one.
4.0, his latest one. And he has the Eagles taking Henry Ruggs III, wide receiver, Alabama. And he's saying that Henry Ruggs will be available at that pick. And of course, we all like Henry Ruggs. Besides that, he's Randy Moss's protege.
Yeah.
And so what Kiper says about Ruggs is this pick should be the best wide receiver on their board. Philadelphia doesn't have many roster holes, but there's a big one at wide out. And really, if I'm running the Eagles, I would look at trading up a few spots to get my guy. I suspect they'd be thrilled to get Ruggs, who's one of the fast players in this class, is underrated as a route runner. This is a team that can win the NFC East again. So there you go. Maybe he's there, maybe he's not. If he's not there, maybe you trade up. I don't know. We'll talk to Sal about it. By the way, the tabulation on Clint Eastwood. We forgot one movie. I must have skipped it. Play Misty For Me. It was a really good movie.
Oh, wow.
He's a radio guy. He's stalked.
Oh.
By a woman.
Oh, wow.
And so his win percentage is 62%. Probably ends up to 63 at Play Misty. 62% hits over misses, which is a pretty good rate.
Pretty good rate. Good for Clint.
All right. Sounds Eastwood appropriate.
Yes. There you go. By the way, SI.com mock draft has the Eagles moving up to 19 to get Jefferson. I don't know if I move up to get Jefferson. I sit there and take him. I don't move up to get him.
Well, then you might have to trade back and get Rieger or trade back and get Hambler. Because what if they think
he's going to be there at... Well, if they're trading up, maybe they don't think he's going to be 21.
That's going to be the tough. And remember, that's what Tim McManus warned. Because everyone in the world, in the whole league, knows they're going receiver. Mm-hmm. You have to watch 18, 19, 20 of teams trading in front of the Eagles to take the wide receiver they were targeting. Yeah. And that's why Tim thinks they may end up trading back, get an extra pick, and take a receiver later, because teams are going to already know that.
All right.
So
it's rim shot time on the show.
All right.
I was reading the story. The Colonial Theater is out there in Phoenixville. And they'd asked their patrons to take a movie and make it a pun, which has something to do with us isolating.
Okay.
Coronavirus.
Okay.
So here's an example. No close encounters of any kind.
Cute.
Mr. Smith goes to wash his hands. Don't stand by me. Yeah, you like that one, dude. Okay. Let's go with, this is my personal favorite, Scarf Face. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Guess who's not coming to dinner? The Dark... You didn't like that one?
No.
These are all pretty good. The Dark Knight Rinses. Shakespeare in Gloves. Good Will Hunting for Toilet Paper.
Hey.
Carry Two, Carry Out Only. Ferris Bueller's Month Off. And Don't Lean on Me. And the winner was the day the Earth stayed home, which I don't think is nearly as witty as Scarface.
No.
See, Scarface is tough to beat.
Shakespeare in Gloves is good.
No, I enjoyed that one.
I love puns.
See, I'm usually like anti the pun.
Oh, you like that?
But oh, I love puns.
I can see Natalie loving the pun. Yes, I can see.
All right, let's go to Phoenixville. There you go. Andrew in Phoenixville. Andrew, you know that theater?
Oh, yes, I do, Mike. I've never been there, Mike. But Compton was there not too long ago, to be honest with you.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Mike, real quick, Mike. A bigger stiff on that Sixer spot it was on last night, Mike. Do you go Geiger or Rashad Bill?
Who was the bigger stiff? Well, the Geiger was in that game. Roger Bell made a couple good plays in that game.
Geiger was the worst. And yeah, how about the play where he dives on the ground and tries to wrestle for a loose ball and get checked? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he clearly didn't want to be in that game. It looked like to me. He had that kind of personality where you could tell he didn't want to be there.
But I do enjoy Doug Collins as the analyst, though. Whatever happened to him? I mean, I know Marv Albert, who I also loved on basketball.
Yeah, it was Marv and Doug, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I know that. I guess they got a little older and got phased out. That's what they do to guys. Like, you know, they just phased out Dan Fouts.
Mike, I know you watch a series on Showtime. Have you watched Black Monday?
What is it?
Black Monday is called.
I have not seen it yet. No.
You might enjoy it, Mike. It's kind of like a sitcomish type show. It's kind of good though. I've been watching it just because I've been itching for something to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check into it one time, Mike. You might like it. It's a good show.
All right. I'll check it out, bro.
And about the draft, Mike. Mm-hmm. A couple dark horses. I would love the linebacker from Oklahoma. I forget his last name, but if they go defense, which I hope they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I wouldn't mind seeing Delpit, the safety from LSU.
I like Delpit a lot. I don't know. Maybe they would go for him. They can't not take a wide receiver. That's the way I look at it. I just, you know, you're telling everybody you're smarter than everybody else, and your fan base is, you have to, like, they don't have any patience for this anymore. If you anoint your quarterback as the best guy on the team, you can't McNabb him. You know what I'm saying?
I hope they don't stay at 21, Mike, because that kid's
not LSU.
He doesn't excite me, that kid from LSU, that wide receiver. I mean, he's nice.
I think that he's being talked about because people are presuming he's the last wide receiver on the board of that quality.
Right.
And that's why they've thrown him in all these mock drafts.
Yeah, because they say there's a gap with what he brings physically. Mm-hmm. And the fact that last year he was in the slot, year before he was fine as a Z. A lot of people actually did, who have watched film, say he was fine outside.
Mm-hmm.
They think there's a drop-off between him and then Rieger and other guys. That's what they say.
Yeah. Well, listen, I hope it plays out the way Mel says it's going to play out.
They would at that point, though, you can't take him at 21. If it starts to go that way, you got to go to get him at, like, 19.
Yeah.
What I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, are you really just going to sit there and chill with Ruggs just out there? Unless he gets popped for weed or something.
Yeah.
You got to go get him.
I would go grab him.
Even if I have to move a couple spots just to make sure.
Unless they absolutely know. It's, you know, those general managers, they don't lie to each other.
Yeah, they
try to con each other, but they don't flat out lie.
No, they don't. You're right.
All right, let's go Hitch in Ridley. Hitch on 97.5 Fanatic. Hitch.
Hey, Mark, great listening to you, bro. I really appreciate it. I've been listening to you for years.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to discuss a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
When this all settles down and things go back to semi-normal or normal, I would just love to see from the owners all the way down to the lowest paid player, if there were one reporter out there that I would have nothing to lose, which is hard to believe, that would actually do the legwork to see who did what as for donating money to whatever cause that they please. And I would just love to see that in print.
And what are you suggesting comes out of that?
Oh, I don't know. I'm fortunate enough to work.
Uh-huh.
And I'm working now. But if I had all the time that these people have between the athletes, the GMs, the owners.
You're saying there's a responsibility for people that make a ton of money to contribute.
To whatever they need to do. And the ones that contribute, I would love to see printed. And the ones that don't, that's fine. We already know that they didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think when this all comes back, there should be, within every major city that has sports teams, there should be a symbolic gratitude to all the frontliners. Free tickets, food, parking, passes, everything.
I totally agree with you.
And I guarantee you it won't happen. And that's the shame. That's a shame.
Yeah.
I was an Eagles season ticket holder for almost 20 years. When I left the vet, went over to the link, and I seen the seat license, $6,000 it would have cost me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, you don't make one penny interest on that.
Yeah.
You know how much Lori, just for an example, all the money he made just from all that money going to his account?
Yeah.
It's time to give back, and this is the time. And I would love to see when this is all said.
Yeah, Lori has contributed. Lori's given back.
Not according to Larry King.
No, he has. He has. It was just, it was made public a few days ago.
Okay. But you understand the point I'm trying to make
here. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. Like,
all right, buddy.
Appreciate the show.
All right, you got it. By the way, I'm glad he reminded me of that, because my brother-in-law is, he works for a company called Auto Parts Warehouse. And they're offering to the healthcare workers and first responders who are working through this, they're offering them free oil changes and free brake pads and things like that, because it's tough to find a shop open right now. And they're also going to be giving away $500 gift cards. So they've named all these participating shops. So if you work in that field, go to this website. And it's called Auto Care, the number 4, responders.com/. And you can find out where you can go to get free brake pads and oil changes and stuff like that to keep your car going. Because obviously you need to get to work.
Yeah. Speaking of, I got to go by Barlow and get my oil changed.
There you go.
Because I've been going, obviously.
All right. Yeah, I'll give it to you again. It's HTTPS. /2 Auto Care, the number 4, responders.com. All right. Let's go to Dave in Scranton. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for being on, you guys. I really appreciate it. I think a lot of people do. You make my day a little better. Thank you. And when you guys, Monday, were screwed up with technical difficulties, I was worried something happened.
I appreciate that, man. We were off the air a little bit yesterday. Yeah. We had some glitches.
I'm happy to see you're out healthy,
On TV, hey, that is. We're always on radio. We toot the horn on radio every day.
Did you guys see us say Pale Rider? That was a pretty good Clint Eastwood movie.
Oh, yeah. That was marked as a hit.
Yeah, Sandra Locke. And Perfect World had Kevin Costner in it. That wasn't bad. And that blood work, he was an FBI profiler that got a heart transplant. And
I do remember that movie. Yeah. That was probably a hit. We gave him a miss. He's a 63% guy.
Yeah. I like most of his movies. And, with the sport coming back with no fans, I'm not a big wrestling fan, but I watched some of it in one of the weird wrestling things. They were doing it with no fans. And I'll tell you, it was bad. Like they had.
Yeah, I wasn't. That one wasn't well received. I was reading.
Yeah.
So, there's money at stake for the dude, and he's got the governor who says yes. You know the way things work, man. These are all gears that are in alignment.
Hey, how about money? And hey, how about the movies? About how President Trump and Vice President Pence are having to handle it. How about Badfellas instead of Goodfellas for them two guys?
Well, that's your opinion. People have differing opinions on this particular situation, and history will history will record what's what for however long it takes. Anyway. The NFL draft's on ESPN, and they've got all kinds of plans buttoned down, and the plans include our next guest, who I'm curious to know how he's going to be proceeding here. He, of course, is the great NFL reporter from ESPN, Sal Palantonio. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Sal, you got a role. What is it going to be for the NFL draft next Thursday?
Oh, Michael, I'm homebound, baby. I got the home office all built up. ESPN sent all the equipment to the house, put it together. We faxed it out. And I'm going to be, it's pretty interesting. I'm going to be one of 115 camera feeds coming into the control room at ESPN during the 3 days of the draft. So, Michael, don't blink, because I don't know how much I'm going to get on TV.
Well, so what you're giving input on the Eagle pick, or you will give input on a lot of other things?
Right. My role is multifaceted, of course. But my responsibility is I have five teams I'm responsible for. All you have to do is draw a line down I-95. I got the Jets, the Giants, the Eagles, and the Ravens. And, of course, our old buddy up in Buffalo, Sean McDermott. So I'm responsible for five teams. You know, we'll be doing, obviously, SportsCenter cut-ins beginning Monday of next week. And then it will go hot and heavy on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. But the big thing is, the big experiment is, as you know, I've been hosted the NFL Matchup Show at NFL Films for 18 years. Uh-huh. And the NFL and ESPN does not want to give up the show. So I am hosting the show from my house, from the office, from the studio in the office. Greg Cosell is going to be in his house. Matt Bowen will be in his house. It's the first time in this whole shutdown that ESPN has tried to have the host in a location other than a studio. So this will be interesting.
Wow.
We are taping. Yeah.
This is very cool. Now, let me ask you this.
It's going to be a virtual show, literally in three different spots. We're all going to feed into a control room to NFL Films. I'm actually being routed, my camera's being routed through ESPN to NFL Films, and then they're going to put it together, splice it together, and the matchup show will debut Friday night on ESPN and rerun all weekend, and then the second show will be on Monday night. So we're excited. We know we're going to get a big audience, but at the same time, it's going to be interesting to see if we can pull it off.
Yeah, this is where I'm going with this. Now, how tech savvy are you? And what happened? Like, can you like do a fix it somehow? Or you know, like, you can't have a tech guy in there with you, right? He won't be, or will there be somebody stashed in your closet?
No, Mike, I'm Han Solo on this one, baby.
All right.
So I'm not too tech savvy, you know. I'm walking around the house in a bathrobe with shower shoes. My wife's been calling me Paulie all week, okay?
All right, so if something goes wrong, you're out. Good night, you're out.
I'm a delegator.
Okay.
You know, I'm the guy delegating.
All right, now, it leads me to the next question, because one of the big fears about this draft is these general managers, they have to be hooked up, right? This has to be tight. And so what we talked about the possibility of like the team having some IT guy on standby. Do you know if that's going to happen?
I would imagine it's got to happen, right? Because you have to have the plan in place in case there's a technical glitch. Like I said, you're going to have 115 cameras. You're going to have a camera in every coach's house.
Yeah.
Every head coach is going to have a camera. Going back to Susie or Trey. So that at some point...
That's a lot of cameras, man. What'd they do? Got a Best Buy? Like, what, they get a deal? What's with these cameras, man?
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's like the tip calculators. It's Jerry Steinfeld got a deal for
it. You got a deal on it?
Yeah. Went to Bob Sack Manor.
That's awesome. All right, so let's just say it goes through fine and everything works out. It's going to be real. See, I'm looking forward to the... how this is pulled off, you know, with this digital thing. I watched Saturday Night Live. They pulled it off. And so I'm hoping, like, the same thing. It's at a very larger scale for ESPN and all the other networks to pull this off. So I'm looking forward.
Okay, so I'm going to take the alternative point of view.
Uh-huh.
I hope we don't pull it off. I hope we pull it off, but I hope we don't. Why? Because if we do... that's going to put a whole lot of people out of business, right?
I think about that.
Yeah, you should think about that. That's also going to keep me
in the house for the next.
Yeah.
Right? The whole concept, the whole institution of American marriage is built on social distancing. All right?
And everybody. Yeah.
Wife goes off, husband goes off, come back at the end of the day. How was your day? What was going on? But, you know, in the middle 8 hours, you had some time with some other people. Now, social distancing has a different meaning.
Yeah, it does. I hear that point.
I'm really excited about how they're going to pull this off. And God bless them for putting the whole thing together, you know, on the fly like this. You know, there's ESPN alone has over 300 home studios built since this started.
That's unbelievable.
The commentators, opinion makers, show hosts like myself, reporters like myself. I obviously have two roles. I host a show, and I'm also an NFL reporter. So it just in the last 3 to 4 weeks, they've installed and connected up with 300.
Yeah, I have to give it credit. They're quick on their feet to get this done. So I like
it. It's fascinating. It's exciting. It's a whole new world. But, you know, I want to go back to the old world, Michael. You know, put me in for the old world.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right, now I wanted to talk because, you know, listen, the NFL was dug in on this. This is going to happen. And I was interested in a comment that Troy Vincent made in an interview where he said, the league obviously didn't have any sympathy for the GMs that wanted this postponed. So he says, we're going to find out exactly where the two true talent evaluators are.
I like that. I love it.
It's a little arrogant.
No, Troy Vince can be arrogant.
I guess he can. But,
yeah. Look where he came from. He came from never. Became an NFL player. Then became vice president of football operations for the National Football League. I know him extremely well. I've known him in his role as a player, and now as an NFL executive. I think he should be the next NFL commissioner. Done. Period. Paragraph.
Well, we'll see if that happens up the road. He also said this, Sal. He admonished John Harbaugh. He said, Coach Harbaugh, no one's going to hack into your system. Stop it. Now, I hope to God nobody hacks into his system because he just put himself out on the plank there.
I hope they do hack into his system. I mean, listen, we've had draft day trades. We've had Mike Ditka in a wedding outfit with long hair. We've had every possible. We've had Mel Kiper Jr. arguing with general managers live on television. We've had all kinds of different shows that have taken place. We've never had what?
A technical
mitten. Breakdown like this or a hack.
I'm telling you, somebody's gonna pop in, some hacker is gonna go Baba Booey. You know, like they you know? I think what's gonna happen. I predict. Sorry, last thing I want to get to
wouldn't it be great though if we were live in Doug Peterson's basement and Peterson's looking at his laptop and he goes, I've just been hacked by a Russian hacker.
It would be great drama. It really would. So the last thing, speaking of Kiper. His mock draft 4.0, latest one, came out today. He's got the Eagles sitting there at 21 and Henry Ruggs III dropping to him. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I saw that. That's interesting to me. That tells me, you know, that people are not as high on Henry Ruggs III as they are on CeeDee Lamb in particular, because I think everybody thinks that Jerry Jeudy, no question, is the number one wide receiver. So if people think that Lamb is going to go ahead of Ruggs, it has to be because Lamb is bigger. A more silky, kind of smooth flanker with great straight-line speed. I get it, big hand, good hands and all that. And maybe more polished of a guy, plug-in-and-play kind of guy. I know the Eagles have done a ton of work with CeeDee Lamb and would love to have him, but know that he's basically impossible.
I'd love to see that trade up to get him. Oh, man. You kidding me?
Are you talking about CeeDee Lamb?
I love him.
No, I know. Eagles have looked at, of all the positions, according to my reporting. The Eagles have looked at 15 wide receivers in detail. They met with 10 wide receivers at the combine, more than double any other position group. I actually have the list of wide receivers. Henry Ruggs III is on that list. CeeDee Lamb is on that list. Justin Jefferson is on that list. Henry Ruggs III is on that list. They're all on that list. I also have seen that the Sports Illustrated mock draft that came out, Mike, in which the Eagles moved up two slots in order to get Justin Jefferson, because as you and I have talked about in the last three or four times I've been on your show, you know, they could sit there at 21 and get shut out.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I wanted to have more time to talk about this, but this is the last second. We got like 30 seconds.
Next week, we got Tuesday before
the... No. I mean, this is a different subject. So quickly, I'll ask you. The WWE was deemed an essential business in Florida. And we pretty much know what is at work there. You know, the governor is whatever. So my question to you is, quickly, how might this influence the philosophies of the major sports as far as coming back?
Well, I think if you look at what happened in Florida, some of the commissioners in each of the counties have deemed sports as a whole as an essential business. And as a precursor to trying to get sports restarted in the state of Florida. Specifically, I think what Florida is trying to do, okay, and I am just using informed speculation here, is to get baseball juiced up to the idea of playing games sometime in the summer at these spring training complexes, maybe without fans, Major League Baseball in the state of Florida. Florida would actually be better than Arizona, because anybody who's been in Mesa or Scottsdale or downtown Phoenix, Arizona, knows it's 115 degrees in the shade in July and August. You're going to have to play those games, all of them, pretty much at night, unless you're going into the Diamondbacks stadium that has a roof on it. In Florida, it won't be as bad.
Be pretty
but
damn
I think
bad,
that's
though.
What's happening in Florida, that they want to play baseball there, and they want to do it sometime in the summer. The really interesting thing that I think is going on is, right now, all of these leagues realize they've crunched the numbers. Everybody. I'm talking about college and professional, from what I'm hearing. All of these leagues have realized there's too much money to lose, and it's going to be better if we postpone rather than cancel. That's why you're seeing my colleague from ESPN, Fowler, saying today that there's momentum building for college football to be played in the spring, as opposed to canceling the college football season altogether. Because you can't play college football in the fall. That's done. It's not going to happen. So I think there's momentum building all over these sports to play these games. Because if you're going to lose the gate, Michael, and the gate in some areas is much more lucrative and much bigger chunk of the pie. Like baseball's gate is a much bigger chunk of the pie than football.
Yeah.
Then you might as well get some of the TV money. The other thing you have to realize, and I know this is a conversation that's going over and your producer's probably screaming at you, but listen to this, okay? Listen to this for a second. If that TV money doesn't come in, right?
Yeah.
Or if Disney doesn't get the money from the cable companies because the cable companies want to claw back some of those subscriber fees, that changes the dynamic over a 6 to 9 to 12 month period and impacts the ability of these leagues to cash in down the line from the cable companies and the networks.
Yeah.
So I think they have figured out, and you can you know, figure this out your own over the next 30 minutes. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Disney just announced that they're losing $30 million a day in the New York Times, and that they borrowed $6 billion at the end of March.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't you think that at Park Avenue or wherever Roger Goodell is, he looked at that and he said, oh boy, Disney's going to be part of the contract with the NFL We need to help out ESPN and Disney.
I hear you. Very logical. All right, brother. Good. That's good stuff. All right, get some rest. Next Thursday's a big day.
I'm tired of getting some rest, Mike. I'm ready for action, baby.
All right, man. We'll talk to you.
All right.
Sal Palantonio joining us every Tuesday. We'll take a break. We're a little late. That's all right. Mike Mastelli Show, if you want to climb in, we can sneak in. 610-620-975. Back after this.
The Mike Mastelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, let's get our final Twitter poll numbers, which are brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. So get your lawnmower zero turn, any of your small engine tools, up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer and Sons online parts warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,100 votes on today's poll. Do you believe more states will deem sports essential businesses following in the footsteps of Florida and the WWE? 37% say yes. 63% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much for that. Now, this story just broke. Employees of Major League Baseball teams are participating in a study that will test up to 10,000 people for coronavirus antibodies and will offer researchers a better sense of how widespread the disease is in major metropolitan areas across the United States.
This is the best news from the sports world so far, by far. That kind of stuff is how you get things partially reopened. That kind of testing.
Now, the study is being run by Stanford University, USC, Sports Medicine Research and Testing Lab. They'll use test kits to draw blood via pinprick.
Ew. Now, that's the new test so that they don't have to do that swab all the way up the nose to the brain.
Right, they'll offer results within 10 minutes. The test will detect the prevalence of IgM in the antibody produced relatively early in those who have been infected with COVID-19. So a positive test will confirm a person did, in fact, contract coronavirus or if he or she was asymptomatic. Doctors caution, though, that the data they get is not expected to quicken the game's return.
Yeah, but I'm not, not the game.
But it's the right thing to do.
Right, and what it can do, it can quicken the country's return to some sense of normalcy. You cannot only test sick people, because how do we know that there are ways, like there could be good news in the numbers. There could be a bunch of people who have this who aren't sick, much higher, hypothetically. We don't know, it may be unlikely, but you don't know until you get the data. Mm-hmm. There could be a bunch of people with this that are completely fine. If that's the case and they're good to go, you can start to reopen the country. You can say these particular people, at least, they're good.
Yes.
And that's why you need this on a large scale. And now the NBA needs to do this, and the NHL needs to do this, and the NFL, they have the most money. They got to do this time five.
Right.
They owe it to the country to do it. And Apple needs to do it. Totally, and Microsoft needs to do it, because somebody else isn't doing it. So let's get these tests done. And then we can actually reopen the country.
I gotcha. Let's take a call before we take another break, because I ran along with Sal. Bobito in West Philly's been hanging. Bobito, what's going on, man?
Is. Chilling, man. How you doing?
Good.
All right. What a game that was last night, that 2001 finals game, man.
Never get tired of it, man.
But you know what sticks out to me is Matt Geiger, Todd McCullough, and Jumaine Jones getting minutes in a finals game. I mean, how pathetic is that?
They had to.
Well, that's what I mean. That's all.
You had all you could do against Shaq is foul him. Well, First of all, I tweeted this out last night. You know, that guy's got a lot of nerve criticizing any center who shoots the ball as pathetically as he takes his free throw. I mean, that's embarrassing, dude. You ought to shut the hell up about Embiid shooting the ball.
It was crazy how bad his free throws were.
Come on, man.
Yeah, but Larry Brown, man, as good of a coach he was, the 1998 draft, you remember that? We took Larry Hughes with the eighth pick.
No, I forgot that. Really? Yeah, did that happen?
Dirk and then Pierce, the next two picks. And what did he say? He promised him he'd pick him or something?
Yeah, it was a stupid rationale.
What the hell was that about?
I think he said that to cover up the fact that he actually evaluated Larry Hughes as a good player.
Better than them, probably. But he did beat the Lakers when they had the four Hall of Famers in the starting lineup when he was with the Pistons. That was... That was a good win.
Oh, he's a great coach.
Yeah.
He, you know, he does fall in love with certain things. Like, he fell in love with the fact he thought that Larry Hughes would play perfectly alongside AI. He was desperately in search for somebody who could play alongside AI.
Yeah, well,
so he took a shot.
The offense in that fourth quarter was so bad. Oh,
it was horrible. Yeah, Jermaine Jones made a couple shots in that game.
He did.
Geiger actually made 5 shots early.
Yeah, I saw
but they, you know, listen, they had 15 fouls to give against that monster. Shaq was just destroying them in that game.
Oh my God, slamming on their face, man. But one thing about the current Sixers, I think the no fans, I think hurts us more than any other team. I mean, we got the best home court in the league.
It's a good point. I'd help them on the road, though.
That's what I mean. I think it'll balance out.
Yeah, balance out.
I think it's all the same.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, though. He thought that he would be a guy, kind of like Markelle Fultz rationale. He could play on the ball, play off the ball. He had size.
I'm sure Larry Brown, this dude drives me crazy every day of my life. I got to figure out something with this dude alongside of this dude.
Right.
And then he just gave up and said, all right, here's what I got to do. I got to pour 4 defensive-minded guys with no offensive skill at all around them.
Right, because this guy's not listening to me.
Exactly. All right, you want to climb in? There's no sound off, so we got room for your call, 1 or 2, 610-632-0975, and you'll get right on.
Mike. The Mike Missinelli Show. .97.5, The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli Show, back after this. .549, Mike Missinelli Show, NBC Sports Philly. Tonight, Pelly Lindbergh, remembered, will lead you into that big game, Flyers and Capitals, on March 4th this year. Monster win by the Flyers, so stay tuned for that later tonight, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Let's get to the phones and get a couple calls in here. Tommy in Quakertown. Tommy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tom?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good, buddy.
I like that Archie Bell in the drills. That was really good.
Yeah, we tightened it up normally around this time.
You were tightening it up.
Mm-hmm.
I got a few things I wanted to say to you.
Yes, sir.
Remember I talked to you earlier about Clint Eastwood's The Movie Died In with the Gran Torino?
Yes.
When you were bringing up the movies earlier, all the movies they did, you guys were counting them down.
Yes.
And you did, the movie was called The Beguiled, and you and Tide seemed like you didn't know much about it.
I didn't know much about it, no.
It was in 1971. He was a Confederate soldier, and he got wounded, but he found his way out of his whatever, and he ran into a plantation. That northern lady, Geraldine Page, played the mother, and there was 3 girls in the movie, other older girls, like 16 or whatever. Anyway, they brought him back to health a little bit, but he was really bad. Like, he was in crutches the whole movie, but then he wound up going... The girls were kind of flirting with him, and he kind of got involved with the girls, and then the mother was very jealous, and then she wounds up...
Well, you don't have to give me the whole plot. Was it a good one? Was it a good movie? Did we miss it?
They kill him at the end.
Oh, they kill him at the end. Well, would you give it a thumbs up?
Oh, yes, definitely.
You give it a thumbs up. Geraldine Page, who was classically in the Public Greenwich Village.
Yeah.
She was the mother of the crooked detective who fell down the elevator shaft.
Well, that was her?
Yeah, and remember the cops came over and they wanted to go through his room, and she wouldn't let him. She got the cigarette.
Yeah, that was her?
My Walter was a bar of iron, and he didn't get that from his father.
Oh, man.
She kicked him out.
That's right. That's a good mom.
Let's go to Safed in West Philly. Safed, you're on 97. Or Saeed. Go ahead, Saeed.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing, man?
How you been, good brother?
How's it going?
A couple things, not really a question, a few statements. Number one, man, I'm not a Roger Goodell fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think his legacy will be the amount of players that he suspended.
Yeah.
And fine, that's about it. But his decision to keep the draft, to go forward with the draft, I think was the best decision that he could have made for fans, no matter what your sport is, because it gives us something to look forward to.
Yeah, I get it. I don't know if he's doing it for that reason. He's doing it for the dollar that he's going to get rights fees to kickstart this league again. You're confusing the male version of Mother Teresa a little bit. Too, you know, you're going a little too far here.
I ain't going that far, Mike. But no, listen, one more thing before you hang up on me. Listen.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago, you had one of your shows, you was talking about the best courtroom scenes in a movie. Mm-hmm. You recall that? And you talked about A Few Good Men?
Yes.
And a few other shows?
Yes.
One thing that you left out, and you'd normally be right on point, you never talked about, what is his name? The guy that got killed, and they never found his body.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Yeah,
what's the movie? What the movie? What?
No, that's what it's the movie. It's his name. What's his name? The dude, the union guy.
The union guy? Hoffa?
Hoffa. Remember the courtroom scene in Hoffa?
Yeah.
Was that one of the greatest?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I also forgot 12 Angry Men. You know, I was just going over the ones that popped into my head fresh, which was A Few Good Men and The Verdict and Injustice for All. You know. All right, Tracy in Florida, quickly. Tracy, you got about 30 seconds.
Okay, I just want to tell you, I told you this was the dumbest state in the country. You're
choosing
me right every day.
You want to get out of that state, don't you, Tracy? Get out of that state.
At this point, I'm scouting other countries. This whole country's behind. New Zealand's high on the list.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and quick thing, 12 Angry Men, I thought about that too after that day. Good one. Most of it wasn't in the courtroom, it was in the...
Yeah, it was well done. You know, they're classic actors in that movie, right?
And Tightrope and Bloodwork were actually good Clint Eastwood movies. And I like Space Cowboys. It was a great cast.
Space Cowboys. James Gardner was in that.
Yeah,
you put Rockford in that movie. Come on, man. You have Rocky in there.
I'm like a Rockford, but not in that.
All right, again, Pelly Lindbergh remembers next on NBC Sports Philly, Flyers and Capitals. Good night of watching TV. Stay tuned right here at 975 The Fanatic. The great Joe Torty escorts you for the evening. Everybody be safe. Have a great rest of the night. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.